ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद। जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। We need some basic writing lessons here. The mystery of how to write the letter R. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, translation and commentary by his Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Madhya Lila, Chapter 7, Text 148. Krishna Upadeshi Karo Jive Nishta.
Krishna Upadeshi Karo Jive Nishta.
Achirate Krishna Toma Karibe Nongika. Krishna Upadeshi Karo Jibe Nishta.
Krishna Upadeshi Karo Jibe Nishta.
Achirate Krishna Toma Kariben Udha.
Achirate Krishna Toma Kariben Udha.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Vasudev to preach about Krishna and thus liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee. Purport. Although Vasudev Vipra was a leper and had suffered greatly, still, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cured him, he instructed him to preach Krishna consciousness. Indeed, the only return the Lord wanted was that Vasudev preach the instructions of Krishna and liberate all human beings. Close the door. That is the process of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Each and every member of this society was rescued from a very abominable condition, but now they are engaged in preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness. They are not only cured of the disease called materialism, but are also living a very happy life. Everyone accepts them as great devotees of Krishna, and their qualities are manifest in their very faces. If one wants to be recognized as a devotee by Krishna, he should take to preaching work, following the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one will undoubtedly attain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Krishna himself, without delay. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita are recorded many amazing pastimes of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there are many, many of his amazing pastimes which are not recorded. They're not all collected in the biographies. And the newcomers can understand English, or they should. Yeah. You should see that. You don't have to leave it to me. So one of the activities that's just been narrated prior to this verse that we're saying here is that there was one great devotee of Krishna whose name was Vasudev. He was infected by leprosy. He had little worms in his body also. But if they would fall out, he would put them back, thinking that, well, they have to eat also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cured of his, Vasudeva of his leprosy, gave him a beautiful body, and instructed him to preach Krishna consciousness. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted in return. Srila Prabhupada also preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, asked some of his disciples when they asked, or when they reported about their preaching news, Srila Prabhupada said that a disciple can never repay the debt to the spiritual master. If someone gives you something, you can repay that. If someone gives you 1,000 rupees, you can give them 1,000 rupees in return, or you can do something to help them, or something like that. If someone gives you a crore of rupees, you can do something in return, or give them some. There's ways to reciprocate, but if someone gives you something unlimited, then you can't return it. So Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna consciousness, and he asked his disciples that you can't repay the debt, but if you want to try, you should preach vigorously, like me. Similarly, or rather, Srila Prabhupada is following the advice of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here to this Vasudev, who asked him to preach Krishna consciousness. What does preaching mean? Those of you who have read this Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava can find that definition given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Actually, he didn't say this is the definition of preaching, but we can understand. Jibe biparita ruchi paribartan karai sharva pekka doyamoy gonaya ekmatro kartabya. The only duty of all merciful persons is to transform the contrary inclination of conditioned souls. So preaching means to transform. The word used is parivartan. I think those of you who know Telugu must know that. Is it in Tamil? Not ordinary Tamil. Even in ordinary Hindi or Bengali, they don't say that. They use a different word. But parivartan gives the eye completely, it gives transform, completely change. The word, the prefix pari gives the idea of complete, so transformation. Now, Srila Prabhupada was very ambitious. Not materially. People are materially ambitious for all kinds of useless and ephemeral things. But Srila Prabhupada had a very strong desire to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction. Priti vite ache jato nagaradigram sabata prachar hoibe moranam. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name would be preached in every town and village of the world. And Srila Prabhupada, he very strongly wanted to fulfill that, or to serve the mission of fulfilling that. I just came across today, and I've been through all of Srila Prabhupada's lectures and conversations or recordings, at least once, all of them. And some of them more than once, some of them many times. But something which just struck me today as I was going through, that a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that, do you want a temple in every village in the world? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. So you could, that's very ambitious, you could say. Spiritually ambitious, and trying to increase Krishna's happiness by bringing more and more people to Krishna consciousness. So if Krishna consciousness is going to be established, or we should think we are the descendants, the inheritors of Srila Prabhupada's legacy, those of us who are directly initiated by Srila Prabhupada, within the society of devotees, we are much honored for that. But we should think that not only accepting the honor, but accepting the mandate, accepting the order, accepting the responsibility to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's very great desires. So if Krishna consciousness is to be established in every town and village in the world, or at least very widely, a massive change in the consciousness of the people is required, because Krishna consciousness, Jibeh Biparita Ruchi Paribartan Karai, change the perverse taste of the living beings. Viparita means it's opposite to what they really need to be attracted to. In the material world, everyone is attracted to Krishnetara, that which is not Krishna. Of course, in one sense, everything is Krishna, but Krishna's material energy acts in such a way that we conceive of things as being different to Krishna or separate from Krishna. So to establish Krishna consciousness in the world means to bring about a major change in people's consciousness and their outlook and the social structure, because the whole structure of the world today is centered around economic development and sense gratification. So if we're to establish Krishna consciousness in the world, then a massive change will be required, because Krishna consciousness doesn't work properly on a demonic template. That if we're trying to live in a society which has demoniac goals and be Krishna conscious at the same time, it's very difficult. That's why we want to establish these farm communities on Srila Prabhupada's order, that the whole atmosphere is conducive to Krishna consciousness. It's difficult in some ways compared to city life. What do you think, Gopa Gopinath Prabhu? You're relatively new here. You just went through the winter here. In the city, you have the geyser for warm bath in the morning. There's no such thing here. For instance, that is one of the difficulties. And there'll be a cold wind blowing. So there are certain austerities to be undertaken. But on the other hand, the atmosphere that is created for devotees to all live together and chant Hare Krishna and serve Krishna is very conducive for Krishna consciousness. But not everyone wants to come. Even many of our devotees, they don't want to come. They're addicted to the hellish life of the cities for those little comforts. And possibly they're also addicted to the whole demoniac culture. They feel comfortable in that. They're afraid to be too Krishna conscious. So actually, to be Krishna conscious means a great change of heart. So individually, and as more and more people take to Krishna consciousness, that will be in the whole society will change. This is how we should be thinking. Now we're thinking how to establish a farm with a few people and Gurukul with a few boys. But actually, we should be thinking of the welfare of the whole society and how we can make this opportunity for everyone. You know, people generally don't want to take to Krishna consciousness. Matena Krishna Paratasvato Vamito Vipadyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Gobhir Vishatam Tamistram Punaf Punas Charvita Charvananam. They're not inclined to be Krishna conscious. Even if you try to convince them, even if you make big, big programs and discussions to try to convince them, they are determinedly fixed in enjoying their senses, in not controlling the senses. And even if you tell them that as a result you will go to hell, they're prepared because they are addicted to trying to get some pleasure out of that which does not give pleasure, chewing the already chewed. However, it is possible to bring Krishna consciousness to people. We are the older ones among us, maybe not the Gurukul boys. We all came from a background of being not in Krishna consciousness. Now we are, by the grace of Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas, we are committed to the practice of Krishna consciousness. That means there's been a major change in our consciousness, whole outlook and approach to life, and what is the goal of our life. So if it's possible for us, it's possible for others. And that is our duty. Jive viparita ruchi paribartan karai, to attempt to transform the consciousness of the conditioned souls who are striving in the wrong way. I translate this as the contrary inclination. So how do we do that? Well, we're not the only ones who are trying to alter people's behavior. The whole world is full of all kinds of people trying to alter others' behavior. One advantage of living here is that we don't see billboards. Billboards, advertisements, they're trying to change people's behavior. For instance, from being a non-purchaser of Coca-Cola to being a purchaser of Coca-Cola. In other words, they're trying to get you to buy Coca-Cola. It's trying to alter your behavior by promising you some sense gratification. Or the political candidates, they're trying to get you to vote for them. They're trying to make you decide to do something. People are trying to convert Hindus into Muslims or Christians. And there are others who are promoting atheism. In so many ways, people are trying to alter others' behavior. So we're also trying to do that. We're telling people stop eating meat, fish and eggs, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, and chant Hare Krishna. So we're not the only ones in the world who are trying to alter other people's behavior. And we're talking about a massive social change. It begins with individuals or social change. Social change means that we get many individuals to change. So there are two main approaches to altering a person's behavior. This is my little analysis that I came up with, and probably social psychologists and those in related fields have studied such things, but I didn't get this off the internet. I just got it from some idea that thinking about how to preach means Krishna gave some idea. So as I have analyzed, there are two main processes or approaches to altering a person's behavior, internal and external. Internal means altering a person's desires, attitudes, habits. In other words, we try to get them themselves to voluntarily change. For instance, if someone is eating meat, then we want to voluntarily convince them not to do so. Generally, it's not by force. That's another way. So there are ways of doing that by trying to philosophically. I'm just giving this example of not eating meat. Not eating meat is not the central thesis of Krishna consciousness. There are many, apart from ISKCON devotees, there are others also who are trying to convince people not to eat meat. And they're not necessarily devotees. They're even atheists or vegetarians. How do you convince people? Well, you can tell them that it's wrong to do so. It's causing pain to others. You can try to convince people that you'll get karmic reactions for causing pain to others. You can try to convince people it's better for health. So there are various ways in which we can try to convince people that the mode of behavior that we are recommending to them is better than their present mode of behavior. It's better to chant Hare Krishna than not to chant Hare Krishna. These are the benefits you will get by chanting Hare Krishna. And if you don't chant Hare Krishna, these are the bad effects that you will get. And some will say, the good effect I'll get by not chanting Hare Krishna is I won't waste my time with this useless mumbo jumbo, they may think. Or if we tell them that you'll go back to Godhead and they don't have faith in going back to Godhead. Or they may think, let me enjoy myself now in this world. When I'm old, I'll chant Hare Krishna and I'll go back to Godhead all the same. So they may have various reasons that they imagine for not chanting Hare Krishna. And it's by philosophical discussion, which are trying to convince them intelligently that it's better that you chant Hare Krishna starting right now. Take it up as a regular daily practice. Other ways to try to get people to voluntarily change their habit is by sensual attraction. We have festivals like Rath Yatra, in which people are attracted. It's fun, it's colorful. Musicians, they may like to join in the kirtan. That was when Srila Prabhupada was preaching in the United States of America, starting in 1965, 66, 67, especially at that time, many musicians were attracted to Srila Prabhupada. The young people of the hippies were very much into music, and one of Srila Prabhupada's first followers, Michael Grant, later known as Mukunda, now known as Mukunda Goswami. He was a professional musician, and he appreciated, especially when Srila Prabhupada started to play the drum. They got a bongo drum before they got the mridanga, and he could appreciate that Srila Prabhupada's consummate musical expertise. So by music, people can be attracted. By fun, prasadam. Most people who appreciate Krishna prasadam do not do so on the level of Raghunath Das Goswami, who came to the point of accepting the rice prasadam of Jagannath, which was, it had gone somewhat stale and was thrown out for the cows to eat. And he would take that and eat that. So most people don't appreciate prasad on the purely spiritual level, but it tastes great. And that is the attraction for that. And that was also a major part of Srila Prabhupada's attracting people to Krishna consciousness in the early days of the movement, and still can be and should be. So by giving prasadam, it's not just vegetarian food, it's hoped and expected that people, if get a taste for taking Krishna prasadam, they will lose their taste for eating meat. Here, take this garland off this. Some tiny living beings, which, can you see? A little disturbing. So I just mentioned about Vasudev Vipra, who would put the worms back if they fell off. So I guess I'm not so advanced. So in trying to convince people to voluntarily do something, there may be a combination of philosophical and sensual approaches, just like in trying to get someone to stop eating meat, you can philosophically say, oh, it's very bad to give pain to other living beings, and also give them tasty vegetarian food. In Krishna consciousness, we can speak to them about the need for us as spiritual beings to worship the Supreme Spirit, Krishna, and also invite them to join the kirtans and the festival. So it's a mixture of philosophical and sensual approaches. Now, I'd said there are two main processes or approaches for changing people's behavior. One is internal. So the internal one is to try to get people to internally and personally decide to act in the way that we are recommending to them. Now, another way of altering people's behavior is by force. For instance, if the children in the school don't behave properly and they persistently keep on doing the wrong thing, and you try to tell them it's wrong, so some punishment may be given. So if they don't voluntarily change, then they may decide to change for fear of the consequences of not doing so. There's a saying that locks help to keep honest people honest. An honest person, if he sees that some money is inadvertently left out, 1 lakh of rupees. Now you can just in one bundle of notes, you get 2 lakhs of rupees, right? 2,000 rupee. Generally in the banks, they bundle the money in 100 notes. So if you have 1 rupee notes, if you have 1 rupee notes, they're not worth anything anymore. They're out of circulation. Okay, so if you have 10 rupee notes, still 10 rupee notes are going on. If you have 100 of them, Gurukul boys, 100 10 rupee notes. How much is that? 10 times 100 equals? Can you understand what, if you can't understand what I'm saying, you should listen to the Telugu translation. That's Indian English to say 10 into 100. It's 10 times 100. 10 into 100 means division. Then it should be 10. Okay, so you have 1,000 rupees. But then you, with one note, you get twice that. Two, now we have 2,000 rupee note. So if we have 100 of those, we have 2 lakhs. So if somehow it's left out and someone sees, they're not thinking of stealing, they didn't come, but they see, I could do a lot with 2 lakhs. No one around, not, stick it in their pocket and go. So there's a saying, locks help to keep honest people honest. If it's locked up, they can't steal it. But he may look and see no one's looking, but he may think, well, if I do get caught, oh, it'll be a great disgrace, and I may have to go to prison, and what will people think? And he said, okay, let me leave. I may get a karmic reaction. So they leave it there. And they may think, maybe it's put there to test me. Maybe there's a CC camera. So out of fear of the consequences, they may not do so. So punishment is required to stop people from becoming very bad. A few years ago in New Orleans, a city in the United States of America, there was a hurricane followed by flooding, and the whole city descended into chaos. And then law and order broke down, and there was widespread looting. That means when people understood that they could get away with looting, breaking into shops and houses and stealing, many of them did just that. So that means that it's only the threat of force which keeps them as, the threat of punishment which keeps them as good citizens. That means that internally they're not honest. They'd like to do all kinds of illegal acts, criminal acts, but due to the threat of legal punishment is one thing and loss of prestige is another, that then they may be considered very bad people. But if they can get away with it, they'll get away with it. They'll do it. So we can also invoke that principle. We can say, if you don't believe in Jesus, you burn in hell forever. This is how the preaching goes on here in South India. That's the main method of Christian preaching. People are stupid. They don't think that you're saying Jesus, someone else is saying Islam. Why? Why you and not them? No, you have to believe. Why? Why should I believe? God loves you. And if you don't believe Him, He burns you in hell forever. What kind of... So it's a threat. Unless you... And of course, the preachers, they get at least, it used to be 10,000 rupees per baptism. It's probably more now. It depends who they are. If you can convert a Brahmin, you get more, so I'm told. It's the conversion business. But by fear is a major factor. And on the other hand, if you don't believe in Jesus, you go to hell. And if you do, you come to our church, we'll give you a chicken every Sunday. Not as a pet, means... For nourishment, proteins. What do they call that? Proteins? There's Sometimes you see on the where they're selling the chickens, they call a protein shop. With the idea if you eat lots of protein, you'll get a big strong body like that. Demoniac body. So, there can be a combination of threat and invoking desire. Sensual, philosophical. Now, I'm trying to think of Christianity. Is there any philosophy? God died for our sins. That's called philosophy. God died. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's some kind of philosophy, is there? Something resembling, vaguely resembling philosophy. So, So, yeah, we can do also, that's there in the Bhagavatam, and it's also a fact that philosophically we say philosophically, but that's the English word, but the Sanskrit term is tatvagyan, to understand. Or the word philosophy is more related to the Sanskrit word darshan. But when we talk about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it's not so much darshan as tatvagyan. Darshan means a perspective of seeing. Seeing, you see, I see, someone else sees. The way Krishna sees, that's called tatvagyan or fact. So we can instruct people that we are all meant to be happy. We are eternal living beings. We are meant to be happy in the service of Krishna. This is all stated in Shastra. We can offer them delicious prasadam, happy life of chanting Hare Krishna. And we can also tell them that if we don't take to Krishna consciousness and if we commit sinful activities, then we have to suffer for that, either in this life or in future lives. So there's combination of the internal method, external method, not much. We can't, at the present stage of our Krishna consciousness, we can't make laws that people who don't chant Hare Krishna, they get punished, maybe in future. But that wouldn't be a very, that's not a very good way to get people to chant Hare Krishna. They should do so voluntarily. But we can make laws, no slaughterhouses. In a Krishna conscious society or society administered by Krishna conscious leaders, meat eating would probably be allowed if people want to eat meat, but not slaughterhouses. Why is that? Because the Vedic culture allows meat eating for people at a certain level of consciousness. So they can, on the Amavasya night, they can sacrifice an animal to Kali once a month. So they're allowed. Or if an animal dies, they can take and eat the naturally dies, then they can take the meat and eat that. So meat eating is not banned in Vedic culture. But slaughterhouses are not allowed. So slaughterhouses should be closed by force, by Vaishnava kings. So some force is there. And if someone tries to kill an animal outside the Vedic system of killing, which is like that on Amavasya night, is certain way of doing, not cows. If someone tries to kill a cow, then there shall be punishment. So people will be afraid of the punishment. Generally in our Krishna consciousness, we try to raise people's consciousness by convincing them this is a better way of life and engaging them in inducing them to chant Hare Krishna, which will purify the consciousness. Take prasadam, it will purify your consciousness. I, I'm very unhappy that within our movement, it's preached, you don't have to take prasad. You can go to a restaurant and eat. What's the harm? Or you can bring some bread and biscuits from the shop. This is why people who are supposed to have taken to Krishna consciousness, and why are they told that it's all right to do something which is not all right? So that will not, instead of raising the consciousness, it will degrade the consciousness. Vishayer anna kaile malin hoiman. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically says that by eating the food of materialistic people, the consciousness becomes contaminated. So it's very wrong to preach this. In some circumstances, it may be unavoidable, but in general, we stringently try to avoid that. So our main method of preaching or change or trying to bring about a change in people's behavior is by consciousness raising, changing their internal attitude. Srila Prabhupada indicated sometimes that if our movement becomes powerful at the political or national level, that we may also adopt to forceful tactics. For instance, not allowing slaughterhouses. If anyone wants to kill animals without following the Vedic system, they should be punished, severely punished. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada would quote the English saying that force will not stand. You can't go on forcing people forever. At some point, they may rebel, or when they get the chance, they'll rebel against that, either individually, just like a child. You can, up to the age of 16, one should be very strict with them. That's Chanakya's injunction. After that, no, because you can't force them forever. They have to decide themselves what they want to do. In the beginning, you can try to mold them with a degree of force. Some force should be there, not only force. Loving dealing should be there also. Of course, force can also be a loving dealing, but they should appreciate that, not just force out of egoism and anger, because the child is can't stand up to you. It's possible to force people in some circumstances to act for their own benefit. For instance, we may stop them from taking slaughterhouse meat. They may not want to, but we can force them. And by forcing, well, we can't right now, but theoretically, we can. If we force them to do so, that will force them to act for their own benefit, even if they desire to act against their own benefit, for their own benefit and for the benefit of other humans and other non-humans, slaughterhouses should be closed. So that forces people to not take food from slaughterhouses. And of course, the chickens with the battery farms, chicken shops, they should all be closed. It's very, very sinful and feelingless. I don't know how people can call it, they have a religion in which they endorse and encourage giving pain to so many living beings. So we can force people, again, I'm talking theoretically here because we have no power to do so, but theoretically we can force people to act in a manner that is conducive for themselves, but more satisfactory for themselves and for their own spiritual advancement is if they personally prefer to do so. They actually don't like to. They don't want to. if we're restricting them by force, no slaughterhouse meat, but they're thinking, I'd like to do that, then they may try to find, just like prohibition, alcohol, it's prohibited in so many states. It goes on and off in Telangana, Andhra. When I first came to Warangal, I stayed, this was many years ago, I stayed with some revenue officers. One of their jobs was to collect revenue from alcohol sales. And they said, but most of the alcohol is not coming through the shops, official shops, but it's all over the illegally produced. It's much cheaper, much, much cheaper, because actually to produce spirits, it's a very cheap process. Rice is cheap, you ferment it, and then you distill it, and it's very, very cheap to make. This whiskey and everything is very expensive, only because of the profit they make and the tax on it. Otherwise, it's cheap. So they try to restrict it in states where it's banned. There's so many people drinking. Illegal. It's very difficult to stop it. Of course, corruption is a factor also. If they were really serious, they could. But there you see, the police are supposed to enforce it. They're also drunkards. Everyone knows the police are all drunkards. So unless people themselves, unless we can bring them to a higher level of consciousness, then it'll be very difficult to change society or to benefit people in the best possible way. No doubt it's a difficult job to spread Krishna consciousness, to convince people of a better way of life. Some people are very pious, here in India especially. We go place to place preaching Krishna consciousness and immediately people take it up. It seems in the villages in Tamil Nadu, some devotees are preaching in the deep south, and they go to villages and preach, and especially many women, they like to take it up, and immediately they'll stop meat eating. Even in the colleges, you go in the colleges with all the modern young people, at least in Salem, in Tamil Nadu, have this experience and say, oh, this meat eating's not good. And so many students, especially girls again, they give it up, including some Muslims and Christians. Because some piety is still there in this much misled land of India. So there is great possibility here. It's a great challenge, no doubt. But we should tell people what they need to hear. If we try to induce people at some materialistic level, that you build a temple and we'll put your name in big lights, and we induce people that you chant Hare Krishna, you'll develop a better personality for going out into the world, and you can be a stronger personality, so it'll be good for your career, and do your career. It's your devotional service to do your career. And in this way, if we try to induce people on the material platform without attempting to change their internal desire, to enjoy this material world, if instead we try to mix the two things. You chant Hare Krishna and you go back to God, and in the meantime, have a great career, enjoy this world. But they're not going to go back to Godhead, because their viparita ruchi, their contrary inclination, has not been altered. So it's a kind of cheating to try to keep people in materialistic consciousness and at the same time offer them that you can get all the benefits of Krishna consciousness. So really, in some ways, it may seem like very successful preaching to bring many people, but they haven't got what Krishna consciousness is all about. They haven't absorbed the essence. And therefore, when we like to distribute books, Srila Prabhupada's books, which state all these matters very clearly, materialistic life is, material desires are against our real self-interest. We have to surrender to Krishna. Failure to do so means that we're just rascals and fools. Say, oh, if people see this, they won't like it. Oh, then they won't come. So let's give them something that they like and tell them to chant Hare Krishna. And here in India, people are still enough pious that you can tell them any damn nonsense, actually. And if you say it's religious, they'll take it up. Sai Baba, complete nonsense. But somehow people think it's religious. And oh, Sai Baba. So Sai Baba has so many devotees. Are we in competition with Sai Baba? No, we want to give something completely different. We're not really in competition with... There are so many Sri Sris and Ammas and Ramdevs and this and that. We're not really in competition. They have a different product altogether. Just like... he must have died by now, but that the founder of this Nirma soap, he's Patel from Ahmedabad or somewhere around there. So he's very well known to our Jashomati Nandan Prabhu of ISKCON Ahmedabad. And he gave large donations to ISKCON Ahmedabad and much bigger donations for mundane schools and things like that. Jashomati Nandan Prabhu told me that he, this Nirma founder, had said, I'm not in competition with surf. That's expensive stuff. And I'm making soap for the... I made a new market for the common people. Cheap soap for everyone. The people they didn't used to use. Nirma. They didn't used to use soap for washing their clothes. You remember they used to have this soap you'd buy in the Kirana shop and it smelled of fish. And just some brown blocks like that. You still get it? Still sell it. There's... smells of fish, because I guess they used to put, or it had a bad smell. Maybe they put fat from the slaughterhouse or something like that. So maybe people use that for washing their clothes. So he said, I'm not in competition. It seems to be the same, but it's a different market. Surf is for the people who have more money to spend and this and that. So we're not, it's a different field. We're not really looking for the same people. We're looking for people who are sincere. We're looking for that rare soul, Manushanam Sahasreshu. That's why this whole idea of going to yoga and getting people to do yoga. People go to do yoga for, they want to have a healthy body for sense gratification. So... you can go to them and do yoga with them and ask them to chant Hare Krishna after you've done yoga for so much time. But then, when are you going to tell them that this yoga is just, actually it's just useless spiritually? And it may be good for the body, but anyway, the body is going to die. So the real thing you have to do is chant Hare Krishna. And when are you going to tell them that all this impersonal stuff which usually comes along with yoga, that's all bogus. When are you going to tell them? You can tell them at the beginning also. Then they won't come. Then you go, you find the people who are interested. How do you do that? Distributing books is the best way. That's Srila Prabhupada said. That's the best way for spreading Krishna consciousness. But then they're afraid to distribute the books because it tells people that they're all fools and rascals. So then we invent our own better ways for preaching, but preaching means jibe biparita ruchi parivartan karai sarva pekadoya maigone ekmatra kartabha. The only duty of all merciful persons is to transform the contrary inclination of conditioned souls. So preaching doesn't mean to collect followers like Sai Baba. Well, he's not collecting followers. He's dead, and who knows where the hell this jiva in the hell, where in hell? Yeah, that's the question. Where he is. We're not in competition with anyone, with Christians or Muslims or Hindus or anything. We have something completely different. You have your hand on your mouth. Go and wash it. Teachers have to teach by example also. Of course, you might say this is a simplistic analysis. There's so much mass psychological manipulation in the world. It's all very complex. We don't really know what's going on in the world with fake news and politicians telling lies. The educational system is just one big lie from beginning to end. It's very difficult to know what's going on. Just like recently, there's all this fuss with this Ram Rahim in Haryana. Was it Haryana? Punjab? Punjab. It's a big propaganda, how bad he was. We don't actually know. Somehow or other, the press and the judiciary system and the police, they were out to get him. Actually, we don't know, because definitely they were out to get him. We don't know whether he was good or bad or somewhere in between. Well, we know that he wasn't a devotee of Krishna, so in that sense, we can know that he was misleading people. But whether all those things about him were true or not, or we don't know. Someone might have thought, well, there's crores and crores of rupees, and okay, let's throw him in jail and split the bounty between us. We really don't know. 9/11, the destruction of the Twin Towers, the tallest buildings in New York City at the time, and then also another building just fell down. Well, do we believe the official story? Many people don't. We don't know. We don't know what's going on in the world. All we can say is that without Krishna consciousness, everyone is simply spoiling their life. That we know for sure. Whether or not there was a conspiracy to bring down the Twin Towers or whatever, we can know that we have to try to bring people to Krishna consciousness. And whether or not there was a conspiracy to bring down the Twin Towers, whether or not there's a Jewish conspiracy to control the world, there's another conspiracy theory coming out of. They mostly seem to come from America. Americans are big on conspiracy theories. But anyway, even if there is a Jewish conspiracy to manipulate the world, personally, I'm not a big subscriber to that one. But it may be, maybe, you know, you just don't know. People can say anything, you know. They may say that 10% of the world are actually alien. 10% of the people of the world are actually aliens who are posing as humans, and they're planning to take over. There are all kinds of things you could say or think. And, well, maybe they're true. Can't prove it's not true, but anyway, people are wasting their lives, whether they're aliens or non-aliens or Jews or non-Jews or bombers of the Twin Towers or non-bombers of the Twin Towers. Everyone's wasting their life forgetting Krishna. So we have to try to, by various means, bring them to Krishna consciousness. The best means is to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada himself attested to that. It's not the only means. There are many means. And we make these communities so that people can practice Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. I think it's time for the boys to rest. Is it? What time do they usually rest?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Oh. Okay. Go, go, go. Let them go. No, let the boys go to rest. Don't delay them anymore.